Hello and welcome to another episode of Baby Steps. If it's your first time here, my name is Danielle Ochieng and I'm an early childhood education specialist by passion and profession with a degree in the same. I'm currently an early years curriculum designer and consultant, and I also run an early literacy program for children in underserved communities called Watoto Wasome Trust. I've been working with children for over 10 years in different capacities, usually all in one. Teacher, counselor, guide, friend, confidant, everything. And this spans through all ages, 0 to 18 plus years, but I focus on the early years and particularly 0 to 5 because it's the foundation of everything about children. And now, drum rolls! It's time for another Did You Know fact. Now, did you know that researchers at Stanford University say that parents who hold back their children just a year have significant advantages over their peers? And this is what is called redshirting. Simply put, kids who join kindergarten at 6 years instead of 5 benefit more and are more likely to be able to pay attention in school, and they had dramatically higher levels of self-control than their peers. And this data and advantage carried out through many years after the study. They go on to say that they found that delaying kindergarten for just 1 year reduced inattention and hyperactivity by 73% for an average child at the age of 11 years. And this brings us to today's topic. Well, unfortunately, I couldn't find a topic that I could sing about, but it's called Death at the Desk. When I was in campus and imagining and trying to figure out my life dreams and goals, children were at the center of it all, and this extended way beyond their schooling and books. And since my choice focus was and still is early childhood education, I always wondered back in the days what I could do to change the system and how it runs and the impact it's having on our children, which unfortunately is mostly negative. And you may be asking, why do I say negative? Okay, let me just ask a question. If you have kids, you'd have seen this, or if you've seen young kids, or you can ask somebody with children. Have you ever seen or realized how school has made our children become, I put this in quote unquote, professional liars? I mean, when it's a school day and the child has to wake up and prepare, they formulate all sorts of excuses. My stomach is paining. My head hurts. Some are even better master planners with a classic, teacher says there's no school tomorrow. Now, does that mean that there is something morally wrong with our children? Or does it mean that there's something fundamentally misplaced with the school they attend, the curriculum content, or curriculum delivery, or they simply aren't ready for school yet? Now wait, before you bombard me from your end with statements that I have heard countless times, which are, but my child can recite the alphabet, or my child can count, or every time others go to school, they also cry to go and wake up early and prepare with the others. That's fine. But that does that mean that because I read books like Rich Dad, Poor Dad, or listen to rich people, does that make me rich? I don't think so. Actually, no, it doesn't. Otherwise, many of us would be the ones giving those talks with credible billions in our accounts instead of the ones listening. So there's this children's song that was on the top of the charts for a long time. Can we recognize it from the beats? Okay, here it goes. Let's just wait for Daddy. I don't know what it is with that song, but I know it's very addictive. I hope you've enjoyed a little bit of it and probably started dancing. If you've had your kids play this song, you probably know it. So here's my analogy with that song. If you played it over and over and over again for a child, won't they get the rhythm and the words depending on the age? trust me, you all know that they will. You probably also sing along because you've had your child sing it along 1,000 times. And that is called the power of repetition. But does their ability to sing the song mean that they know what a shark is or anything about sharks? Does it mean that they can survive a shark attack? No. Simply put, if you keep playing an alphabet or number song for your child, the power of repetition will enable them to memorize and fluently recite it. But that does not mean they are ready for school. There's a danger in enrolling your child early for school because there's a very high possibility and probability that they are not developmentally ready and mature for school. And singing A, B, C, D, E, F, G doesn't mean or for sure that they're ready for school. Look at it this way. A one-year-old is barely walking while a two-year-old can gladly outrun you. There's a difference. It's just 1 year. Now, I know we have a standing issue of full-time working parents, distrusted nannies and all. So what is the solution? If one parent can stay home and be the kids until they're ready to go to school, that would be awesome. But modern day life does not allow it. So the solution is to ensure that your kids are prepared with skills ready for school. That means while you're at home with them, the times you get to spend time, emotional, social, psychological readiness is very important. Do you know one of the top ranking countries in terms of educational performance or students' performance? It's Finland. Well, Finland is only beat by countries like Japan and North Korea simply because they have an extreme drilling education policy to a point where kids don't even have a holiday or break on Sundays. And they also have the highest rate of suicide, even among children. Now, this is not to scare you, but I'm going to give a few facts about Finland. But before I do that, I early mentioned every time in my introduction that I'm an early childhood educator. And I have a passion for kids' education, holistic education. So this time we're just going to focus on their education in school, academic education. And that's why it's called Death at the Desk. The Finnish government, that's the government of Finland, their laws only allow a child to join formal education, academic education at 7 years. Yes, like 1, 2, 3, 4, yes, 7 years. While the rest of the world are forcing their children to go to school at 3 and 4, Finland is 7, yet they outsmart the whole world. And why is this? Well, for many reasons. One is that Finland invests heavily on the education for learners and research. And they discovered very early that at the age of 3, 4, 5, a child is simply not ready for academic content in a formalized way. So I had to choose my words wisely when I said academic content. Academic, the ABCDs, 1, 2, 3s, in a formalized way where they have to sit down and listen. Not much activity, not much play. Yeah. So in that country, some kids do stay home with a parent to learn all the necessary skills for living in a community, like social and emotional skills. And some go to daycares or playgroups that have to meet stringent measures of quality to be registered by the government. And in these playgroups, children actually play a lot. Now, before I move on, let me give some fun facts about education in Finland. Did I mention that they don't start school until they are 7 years old? Yes, still outsmart the whole world. Number one, they do not have any standardized tests or national examinations until the age of 16 years, which still at that age, which is the end of high school, it's still optional depending on whether the student wants to go to university or not. And if not, they go for vocational training that supports their dreams. This removes all the unnecessary pressure from children, unlike what midterm, end term, and our national exams do. Number two, students in Finland start school from 9 to 9:45 a.m. Yes, even high school. Like, whoa, 9 to 9:45 a.m. Because research proves early start times are detrimental to their well-being, to their health and maturation. And so I pity our children who have to wake up between 5 and 6 a.m. or even earlier just to get to school. And then they reach there, they're sleepy, they're uninspired, they hate school. They generally begin to hate life in general. And then if you live in a place that has traffic, Lord have mercy. Number three, finished schools across the board usually end by 2 to 2:45 p.m. When I say across the board, I mean until high school. Yes, 2:45 p.m. latest, every school is closed. And this gives time for children to go home, relax, gives also teachers time to relax, and gives them time to prepare for the next, like, about 2 hours for the next coming lessons and stuff like that. So they have enough time for teacher development and preparation. Number four, each 45 minute or 30 minute class has a mandatory 15 minute break for students to stretch, breathe, play, interact. And this break is also for teachers because they are human too and need to unwind so as to be functional to the best that they can. Number five, homework in most schools is a no, like they have no homework. And if it's there, it's programmed to be a maximum of 30 minutes or less. Like, it's time for the average student, it will take a maximum of 30 minutes, with some grade levels receiving no homework at all, because home time is exactly that, home time, not an extension of school. This reminds me of our kids who are sleeping past 10 p.m. or even midnight trying to finish 50 math questions of the same principle. Seriously though, what's up with that? Moving on. Number six, students stay with the same teacher for up to 6 years of their education, which allows teachers time to bond with students and understand individual learning needs to ensure that each child is met where they are. And this time also gives the children confidence in their teacher. A teacher has walked with you through these years. In case they're having issues, they're more open to handling these things. Number seven, they focus on the holistic development of learners with great emphasis on emotional and mental development, because that determines a child's overall performance and ability to handle life in general. Number eight, oh, I love this point. The teaching profession is equally ranked with the same status as doctors and lawyers in Finland, because they are very highly ranked. A teacher in Finland must have a master's degree, and only 8 universities in Finland offer that. Yes, only 1 out of every 10 students or teachers who go to these universities actually make it to teach the Finnish schools. It's about time we respected our teachers and values also placed on their education, so that our children also get the best deal. Number 9, in addition to this, the Ministry of Education makes its policies based solely on extensive research and best practices in the field. Unlike most of our countries that have a lot of political interference, which makes all of us suffer in the long run. Number 10, I think I should stop here, is their quality of education is the same, whether the school is in town or it's up country, whether it's in a rich or poor neighborhood. There are no private schools and there's no disparities in terms of the education. Reflecting on all that I've said and why I'm sharing this data is because I'm really concerned, obviously always concerned, that's why I make these podcasts, about our kids' schooling and education and the impact, the negative impact it's having on them, the fact that kids are growing up to hate school. Even by the age of 5, our kids are learning how to make up excuses not to go to school. There's got to be something wrong, and my desire is that this thing could change, you know. And reflecting on all that I've shared, are our schools meeting the minimum standards of education that best suit our students? And is it practical to expect this from our schools? Well, until our government sort this thing out, if it ever will, hopefully it will, there isn't much we can do if our children are in public schools. Because honestly, one teacher to like 60 students doesn't make sense. But if our children are in private schools, at least some of these standards should be met. Because my desire and our desire for our children to be happy in school and find school a beautiful place and find learning actually exciting, to a point where they come home, they just want to learn more. They're asking questions, they're doing research, they're doing experiments, that learning becomes a natural process, even outside the academic realm. Our desire for our kids to perform in school is slowly but surely killing them. Kids are dying at their desks daily. We're expecting them to be reading at the age of 5 or at kindergarten, but in a report titled "Reading in Kindergarten, Little to Gain and Much to Lose," an education professor, Nancy Carlson Page, and her colleagues warn about the hazards of early reading instruction. And they wrote, when children have educational experiences that are not geared to their developmental level or in tune with their learning needs and cultures. It can cause them great harm, including feelings of inadequacy, anxiety, and confusion. Now imagine your kid going through these things and yet we are unable to tell them. Because when a child can't read at a prescribed age, they're labeled as slow learners. They're even shamed for it. Guilt gets into them, frustration. Or if at the age of 3 and 4 they cannot sit still in class and are fidgety, they're labeled with attention deficit hyperactivity disorder or ADHD. Yet it's not in their nature to sit for long periods of time, especially when the activity or the teaching is boring and not engaging. And so we look for interventions and medications for this condition of ADHD, which are only intoxicating to them. Like, why not have them in a school where teachers are loving and friendly, activities are engaging and resources are plenty, the space for free play and getting dirty is available. In fact, if your child comes back home from school clean, with no evidence of dirty clothes in their bag from changing, then I'm sorry to say this with all love, but the school is failing. And if you, as a parent, make noise or shout at the kid or child or condemn them for coming home with dirty clothes, coming home dirty from school or outside during the holidays, then guess who the problem is with? You know, we tend to have unrealistic academic and behavioral expectations for such young ages, condemning them for being children, and we wonder why more and more people are suffering with depressions. It's because expectations have always been unrealistic. And little to no time is spent on training our children how to properly handle mental and emotional stress. Instead, we are forcing them to learn their ABCs and 1-2-3s. Children at tender ages are being placed in artificial learning environments. They're separated from their families for long lengths of time, and then they're still expected to comply with a standardized, test-driven curriculum, even at the age of 4. Seriously, why are we examining children at 4 years old? At 3. No. Is a no. A child should not be examined at that age. Maybe from 5 years if they can, you know, at least know some few alphabet or names, stuff like that. But 4 years? No. I was looking at the United States Center for Disease Control and Prevention. And in 2003-2004, approximately 11% of children between the age of 4 and 17 had been diagnosed with ADHD, and by 2011 to 2012, that number had increased to a whooping 42%. This is like 7 years later, but probably at 70-something or 80-something, with a majority placed of these children who have been placed on medication. I think what troubled me the most is that over 1/3 of these children who are diagnosed and medicated were children under the age of 6. Seriously, ADHD, they're children. Anyway. And I believe, and believe it or not, these Western influences are affecting us too. And our children are being diagnosed and treated with the same. If children only had an environment where they can freely explore, run, you know, breathe fresh air, shout and laugh, trust me, there'll be no need for ADHD. And also, parents, if we do not feed them with junk food, sugar, spice and everything deemed nice, a lot of these foods have high sugar and stimulant content. Hence, children are unable to sit still or concentrate on anything, literally, even one statement. And despite children being children, you still need to train them to sit still and be quiet for different occasions like church and so on. And as long as they get space to expend their energy throughout the week, trust me, it will be so much easier to have them sit and be calm when you need it. I'm just going to give very brief advice of if your child is going to school or you're looking to take your child to a certain school, please don't just pick any school. First of all, check on the attitude and personality of the administration and teachers. Check on the amount of outdoor play space that they have and how much outdoor time is in their timetables, at least 90 to 120 minutes or more a day. Check how lessons are delivered and if these lessons actually holistically involve the children or is it a mini university for children. Check on the type of food that's the school offers food. Is it healthy? Is it nutritious? Check on the number of students in class and how much space is in each class. The availability of learning and playing resources. Check what are the school principles and standards. What guides the schools? Check on the discipline measures that they give to children. Discipline is a must, but not beating and emotional abuse. I covered this in earlier episodes. Check how long the classes are and how much free choice activity time there is. Check on the teacher's relationship with learners. Check if there is nature, grass, plants, trees, flowers, a sandpit, water play. Yeah, at least majority of these things that I've just mentioned. Check if they're counseling services, because children are going through a lot. Either professional counselor or teachers who are able to do the job and have time for it. And do not forget if the school meets every single governmental standards. And lastly, trust your instincts. If your gut tells you there's something off about a teacher or other staff, unless you're like me and sometimes can be overly paranoid, there's most likely something wrong with them, and it's up to you to find out and ask as many questions as you have, because you're entrusting the life of your child to strangers, and you have the right to have all your questions answered in a respectable way, hoping that you also ask those questions respectably. And also check, make sure there's collaboration between teachers and parents meetings, you know, time to discuss about your child's progress and your child's behavior and all these other things. Very, very important. You also need to check if your child is ready for school. Basic things like, are they potty trained or toilet trained, unless it's a number two where they need help? Can they use the toilet on their own? Can they share? You know, that's if it's not 2 years and below for daycare, but above, like 3 years and above, can they share? Is there minimal screaming and crying or fighting? Can they remain attentive when stories are being read? Because, by the way, reading stories for children should be a huge part of a curriculum. Interesting stories with teachers dramatizing it. And I encourage that you start this behavior at home. Buy books for children and read with them. You know, help them identify colors. It's also a very good bonding experience. I also covered this. Also, talk to them. If you plan to take them to preschool or daycare, talk to them about, okay, like practice routines. Because, you know, schools have routines. You wake up, you do this. Make sure for days and weeks they have a standardized routine that they follow. And also explain to them what preschool looks like. You know, tell them, you see the way mommy goes or daddy goes to work and then they come back in the evening. Tell them they will also be going to school or to play group to play with others. And then you'll see them in the evening. And then tell them they're going to enjoy themselves and stuff. Let them get used to keep telling them about the habits of school. It may help if you can take them to your parents, if they have their grandparents around for maybe a night or just during the day, and then come and pick them in the evening so that they also get used to being away from you, so that the transition to school or to playgroup is so much easier for them. Kids below the age of 4, just make sure there's lots and lots of play, whether it's with sand, mud, water, art, very therapeutic, you know, paint, everything. There's a lot of outdoor space to play and run and stuff like that. And there's no formalized education where children are sat and drilled to cram the ABCs and the 1, 2, 3s. This can be learned through a playful way. I know that because I design curriculums, you don't have to sit down and tell children, this is No, you don't. And all through school, especially in lower primary, that's grades 3 and below, ensure that school is engaging and there's a lot of activities for them to learn through, a lot of play they can do, a lot of hands-on activities they're doing, so that they're not being lectured. Trust me, it's not university. We don't want them getting bored of school very early. And if they are 4 years and below, please don't allow them to be tested. No standardized tests, no comparisons, no ranking of the numbers, and don't allow homework, please. They're coming home to rest. Most likely they've sat in traffic, they had to wake up early, it's been a long day. No homework for that age and below. If it's kindergarten and above, it has to be maximum for 30 minutes. Like, and it's one homework a day. The organization that I work for currently does that. Just one piece of homework a day, and it's a maximum of 30 minutes. I'll end by this. Parents, know that you play the biggest role in your children's lives. Be actively there for them. Spend quality time, read to and with them, act out stories, eat family meals together, play, teach them social skills and how to deal with mental and emotional pressure, and love them. Love them, love them, love them. Not spoil them, but love them. Assure them they need it. Be the number one fan. Let's not let education kill our kids, because even children are committing suicide because our grading system has showed them that they have failed. We have cases of parents beating their children even to death because of performance. Like, seriously, this is very heartbreaking. Please, let's arise above the norm. I'll leave us with two quotes. One from Fred Rogers, which says, "Play is a form, is often talked about as if it were relief from serious learning. But for children, play is serious learning. Play really is the work of childhood." And my last one is, "If a child can hold a pencil, write their own name, count to 100, recognizes all the colors and shapes, but doesn't know how to make friends or manage their emotions and conflict resolution, doesn't know how to be independent and have self-help skills, none of this other stuff matters." So that's it from me. Thank you so much for listening. I really hope you take heed to these things. Our kids are dying at their desks and it's affecting their entire lives. It's the end of the episode. I'd like to say bye. And if you want to reach me, email is still parentingbabysteps@gmail.com. parentingbabysteps@gmail.com. Don't forget to reach out if you have any questions or clarifications, or if you need activities to do with your children. It's holiday time. Bye.